What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming, and Happy New Year. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer, and in this episode, we will be looking ahead at the 12 months that is the calendar year of 2023 and all the gaming goodness that we can expect to hopefully experience in those months. What are my favorite games that I'm looking forward to? My most anticipated announcements that I'm hoping to hear from the big three, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo? What do I want from each of those publishers? What do I need in my gaming life for them to announce this year? My most anticipated accessory or peripheral, and my year-end results for trophy level progress and my gamer score questing. It's all here in this episode, so let's dive right in to 2023. Gamers, it is so good to be back, kicking off a brand new year, a brand new season of Lost at Sea Gaming, season 4 to be specific. And man, I can't believe that it's actually season 4. It's been that many years now that I've been doing this show. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I thank you for all the listens and all the support that you've given over those years. If you're brand new to the show, welcome. If you've been with me since the beginning, thank you. Man, here we are in this episode, and I can't wait to look ahead at 2023 and the amazing number of games and just the amazingness in each individual game. It's not just the quantity of games that we have to look forward to already in the first half of this year, but just the quality of what I'm assuming these games I'm going to talk about here is going to bring with them. Now, what I've done is I've compiled a list from January through June of 2023 of my most anticipated games that are releasing in those 6 months. I do also have a list of games that I'm interested in that don't have a specific release date yet, but I still want to bring those up as, hey, these games are supposed to be coming in 2023. So hopefully we see those releases actually come to fruition. But again, these are all release dates as of the time of this recording. So I'm just going to kind of go month to month, game to game, and talk about each title and tell you exactly what I think and why I'm excited for each one. So to dive right into the list here, we obviously start with this month, the month of January. And just a couple of weeks from the release of this episode, we are going to have the first major game, what I hope will be the first good major game of 2023, and that game is Forspoken, the action RPG from Square Enix that's a PS5 console exclusive. It's also coming to PC. It looks really, really good. Sony just released a demo for it, Sony and Square Enix, that is, on the PS5. So if you got a chance to check that out, you probably have a good idea of what to expect from the game in the next couple of weeks once it releases. And I did try out the game. I didn't want to put a whole lot of time into it because I'm very much the kind of gamer that I like to be surprised. I like to feel the freshness of a new game when I'm playing through it. And I felt like if I played too much into the demo, that freshness that a new game brings with it would just not be there once I actually played the real game. And I didn't want to have that feeling when I first load up and boot up Forspoken on the 24th of January, to be specific of its release date. And I don't know, the story sounds great. It was an awesome looking game once it was first announced, called Project Athia is how it started out as, and just following it over the course of the last couple of years, to be honest, through the delays and through the different hiccups that have been online as far as all the graphics are this, the graphics are that. I mean, look, based on the demo, it wasn't the most gorgeous looking game that I've ever played, but it doesn't have to be. And I'm trying to remember, it was just a demo, guys. But the cool thing about this game too is it's created by a bulk of the development team from Final Fantasy XV. And I absolutely loved Final Fantasy XV. One of my favorite Final Fantasy games out of all that I've played over the years. So the expertise that comes from that development team and how much I loved what they did with Final Fantasy XV gives me a lot of hope and confidence in Forspoken. Now, the only thing about Forspoken for me is it is seemingly a pretty massive action RPG, meaning a lot of time will probably be required to play it, or at least to play it the way that I like to play games, which is I typically try to be a completionist. I like to do all the side quests, get all the collectibles, even do some platinum pursuits, as I call them, going after platinums and PlayStation games and trophies and whatnot. Don't know if that's going to be the case for Forspoken, but got to see that trophy list to see if that's going to be the case. My point is, Forspoken, as I mentioned, comes out on January 24th. Well, gamers, the next game on this list is just a short 3 days later. And that game's release is for PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. And the game is Dead Space Remake. Now, Dead Space is one of my favorite franchises from the 360 and PS3 era. I absolutely love the trilogy of Isaac Clarke. You know, the third game wasn't as good as the first two. It went more action, all about microtransactions, trying to force co-op into a single-player, story-driven, horror-themed game. And it just doesn't work as well when you're trying to force these things onto something that is not meant to be that. So Dead Space 3, unfortunately, was not critically or commercially as successful as the previous two games in the series and essentially sunk the franchise for all these years. Now, with the resurgence in the popularity and the success, both commercially and financially and critically, of the Resident Evil remakes, I think everybody is, oh man, we got to remake these survival horror games. There's a market for it because obviously Resident Evil has been very successful. So now Dead Space is doing the remake thing. You also have Silent Hill this past year that is doing the remake thing with Silent Hill 2. Talk about that a bit later. Point is, Dead Space the remake, it looks really good. I mean, honestly, I've already played through and beaten the original game, and this game is said to be following the same basic storyline from that original game, with some minor adjustments and tweaks here or there, some modernizing of combat, some control schemes, a little bit of visual tweaks to Isaac Clarke's rig or his outfit, his suit, if you will. So I'm very much looking forward to the upgrades and the updates that we have quality of life, factors into the game world that we didn't have back then in 2008 when the first game released. So I'm very excited for this game. I still haven't gone back to the Callisto Protocol, which is kind of like a spiritual successor to Dead Space. And I feel like I'm going to get very close timing wise by the time I actually do get to that before the Dead Space remake. So hopefully they don't affect each other, my opinion of one or the other. But regardless, the Dead Space remake is January 27th. So already in the first month of the year, guys, we have Forspoken and Dead Space remake. Awesome, to me at least. That's an awesome way to kick off the year. And, you know, not even just a short 6 days later after the Dead Space remake comes out, we have on February 2nd, the sequel to one of my favorite games of this past generation. And that game is Deliver Us Mars, the sequel to Deliver Us the Moon. Now, I do have a review for Deliver Us the Moon right here on this podcast channel. Check it out if you want to know my detailed thoughts on that game. But I felt the game was absolutely amazing in many, many ways. And when they announced Deliver Us Mars, I was super excited to get my hands on it, to get back into that gameplay style and that world, that story that it seemed like it was going to be continuing from Deliver Us the Moon. The thing is, though, is it was originally supposed to come out last September, but it was not ready for release, so they pushed it back all the way until February of this year. And I'm fine with that if that means that the quality of the game is going to be matched to that of Deliver Us the Moon, because that would just be a travesty if they released the sequel to Deliver Us the Moon and it was massively under the quality levels of Deliver Us the Moon. So very much looking forward to checking that out when it comes out on February 2nd. But we have just 8 days later. Honestly, only 5 days later if you get the deluxe edition pre-ordered, because you get 3 days early access. The game I'm talking about is Hogwarts Legacy. Gamers, if you've been listening to my show, you know I am just absolutely frothing at the mouth to get my hands on a controller and play this game. Look, I'm a massive Harry Potter fan. I have been since the first book. I read the books before the movies and then enjoyed the movies each year as they came out and have still enjoyed that world. I've enjoyed multiple games over the course of that same time frame, the past 20 years or so. But this one, it seems like it's going to be the Harry Potter world or Wizarding World, as it's called, game to end all games. You actually create your own character. You get sorted by the sorting hat into a house, whether it's Gryffindor, Slytherin, Hufflepuff, and Ravenclaw. Honestly, I hope I get sorted into Ravenclaw. I've always preferred that house out of all the others, but I will accept whatever house I get sorted into, but the massive amount of content that this game looks to be offering is just kind of astounding to me. I mean, we have the entirety of the interior of the Hogwarts castle, the grounds of Hogwarts, underneath the grounds, the forest, the forbidden forest on the outskirts, just all these different areas, the town, the little village of Hogsmeade. I mean, the amount of time that I feel that I'm going to sink into this game. It is kind of an action RPG, and there's just so much to do. You go to classes, you perform different herbology courses and whatnot within each of those classes. You can fly a hippogriff. There's just so much to do, it looks like, in this game, and I cannot wait to play this game. Now, it's coming out for all consoles, current gen, on the 7th or 10th, depending on which version you get, of February. And it was announced just recently in the last month or so that it was being delayed, the PS4 and Xbox One versions, that is, until later this year. So if you don't have a PS5 or Series X or high-end PC, I do apologize. I hate that if you were looking forward to this game on the PS4 or Xbox One. But it is still supposed to come out later this year. But man, I cannot wait to play Hogwarts Legacy. Now, a short 11 days later, in February, on the 21st of the month, is a Game Pass title, but it's also coming on PC, and this game is called Atomic Heart. Now, this game is a first-person perspective, very story-driven, but insane-looking action. If you watch some of the more recent trailers, it's always been likened very much to a BioShock or System Shock spiritual sister or descendant of those games. And it very much vibes with that, just the aesthetics of it, the visuals, and the fact that it's first person. Instead of using plasmids, you're using other types of similar magical abilities, if you will. But it just looks very, very good. And it's been in production for a long time. It's gotten delayed quite often. But as of right now, February 21st looks to be the day that we can finally try it out. So I'm very much looking forward to that game. And so far, in 2 months worth of releases, there are 5 games, and probably, at least for me, I'm expecting already probably 200 to 300 hours of gameplay, which is insane because there's no way I'm getting that amount of time in those 2 months. The story of my life, gamers. Well, as we move into the March month, we are going to be looking at Wolong Fallen Dynasty. Comes out March 3rd. That is also releasing on Game Pass if you have the Game Pass subscription service. But regardless, it is very much a Bloodborne or Souls-like style of game in the sense that it's very challenging enemies in combat, and you're going to have to really work at making progress throughout the game. Now, I will say that I'm very interested in it, and I want to see more of it and really give it a shot. The fact that it's on Game Pass helps that game a lot for me because given the fact that it's a Souls-like game and my history and track record with those is not the greatest, you know, I've played Bloodborne but never got past the first area. I played a ton of hours in Demon's Souls Remake on PS5 but never finished it. I really am intrigued by it, but it's just the fact that a lot of the time, those games require so much just grinding, and I don't have the kind of time to get through just games on a normal basis, let alone to set aside a whole gaming session to just grind to make it past one area. But I still want to try it out. So I'm going to give it a shot when it comes out on Game Pass on March 3rd, later this year. Now, 6 days after that release, on March 9th, we have Fatal Frame, Mask of the Lunar Eclipse. Now, I did want to do an episode revolving around a preview discussion of Fatal Frame, Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, back when I was doing my Terror on the Sea episodes that I do every year in the month of October, and then I thought about it in November. It just never panned out. So I never did do that preview discussion episode, but what it is, if you don't know, obviously, the Fatal Frame series is a great one. It's been around for a while, since the PS2 era. The first game is the only one that I've beaten in the series. I recently, these last few months, have dabbled in the previously released remaster and upgraded version of Fatal Frame Maiden of Blackwater, and that was awesome. What I've played of it so far has just been an awesome, awesome experience. I really wish that I had the opportunity to get back to it and really focus on it. But it also got me hyped and excited for the fact that they're re-releasing and remastering this one as well, Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, because again, yes, it is a remaster of a previously released game that was on the Wii. Now, it is the next game in the series, and it does, I mean, the trailer for it looks really cool and has me really intrigued and had me really pumped up to get back to playing some more Maiden of Blackwater before the release of Mask of the Lunar Eclipse. But regardless, if you're a fan of survival horror, if you're a fan of the Fatal Frame series, Mask of the Lunar Eclipse comes out March 9th. Very excited about that. I hope that I can find some time to finish Maiden of Blackwater and try out Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, but just keep it on your radar if you're interested in that style of game. But gamers, 8 days later, on March 17th, is probably, arguably, I mean, it is neck and neck with this next game and Hogwarts Legacy as my most anticipated game in these first 3 months. The game in question, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, releasing on March 17th. Woo! We finally, this past month at the Game Awards in December, got a confirmation of release date, which was honestly surprising to me that it was seemingly so soon. I mean, 3 months after the first gameplay trailer, they're releasing it, which is amazing. I really hope it doesn't get delayed. Don't get me wrong. If it means that it will make the game better, I will just kind of swallow it and eat it and move on. Because as I'm stating here constantly, there's many other options to keep me busy until it releases at a high quality level, as it should. But just a couple weeks ago, I did have an episode where I was focusing on the newly announced lightsaber stances that are going to be in the game. Very reminiscent of Ghost of Tsushima and their stances, in my opinion. Check that episode out if you're interested for some more details. But man, I mean, the game just looks amazing, and I cannot wait to join Cal Kestis and BD-1 on their continued journey through the galaxy. Now, yet again, 1 week later, these games are so close together. March 24th sees the release of the Resident Evil 4 remake. Now, I'll be honest, Resident Evil 4, I loved the game. I got it on GameCube, played through it and beat it on GameCube. Played through it again and beat it on the Wii when it came out with the Wii edition. I have thoroughly enjoyed that game and that game's story. Leon is my favorite Resident Evil character, has been since Resident Evil 2. But in the whole grand scheme of the Resident Evil franchise, you know, 4, it's a lot of people's favorite Resident Evil. I respect that. For me, I've always preferred the more classic style of Resident Evil set in and around Raccoon City or the mansions. Things like Resident Evil 0, the original, Resident Evil 2 and 3, or even Code Veronica, arguably my second favorite game out of all Resident Evils, next to only Resident Evil 2. But, you know, yeah, sure, Code Veronica is the remake that I really wanted over Resident Evil 4 in this scenario here. But I'll still take it because the trailers for this game just look amazing. And I felt like Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes were just so phenomenally well done. And Resident Evil 4 is just like Resident Evil 2 and 3. They altered some things here, there, added some things, took out some things. The same can be said for Resident Evil 4. I can't wait to see what that is. And just thinking about some of the moments, the set piece moments that you experience throughout the course of that game, I can't wait to see how they look with modern tech, modern visuals. Because again, I played this as a GameCube game and then just kind of a slight remaster, if you will, on the Wii. So to see it reimagined, especially just what I've already seen from the visuals in the trailer, whew, I cannot wait to play this game. So it's going to be a very, very tight first 3 months already. Thankfully, when we go into the month of April, at that point of the release of Resident Evil 4 Remake on March 24th, we actually have almost 4 weeks, or I almost have 4 weeks, until the next experience releases that I'm looking forward to. And the reason why I say experience and not game is because on April 19th, we get the Horizon Forbidden West expansion, Burning Shores. Now, obviously, if you have been listening to me for a while, you'll know that a lot of 2022 for me revolved around my taking you on that journey with me through my playtime in Horizon Forbidden West. I also released a review out there with all my detailed thoughts on it. Check that out if you want those detailed thoughts. But man, Long story short, I loved Forbidden West, and they showed off the trailer. They debuted it at the Game Awards for Burning Shores, and this expansion just looks awesome. There was, you know, very, very brief trailer as it was. There was just the thought of, man, these rivers of molten lava going through, and it's set in LA and Hollywood, so being able to go through and just knowing Horizon in the series as I do, having played through the first two games and how the exploration is done and the story is presented and just the lore and the backstory of the areas that you explore, I can't wait to see what Guerrilla does with the city of LA and Hollywood. I can only imagine how awesome it's going to be. So I can't wait to check that out. Plus, I missed the Frozen Wilds for Horizon Zero Dawn, the expansion for it, when it released. Still have it, but still have never gone back to play it. I don't want to make that same mistake here with Forbidden West. So Horizon Forbidden West expansions, Burning Shores, April 19th. 9 days after that, the only other release in April that I am interested in keeping an eye on is Dead Island 2. It most recently was pushed back from February to this date of April 28th. And I absolutely loved the first Dead Island. Absolutely loved it. Never got into the second game, and that was called Dead Island Riptide. And I was really excited to play it, but it came out at a time where I was just so wrapped up in a lot of other experiences that I never got around to Riptide. So to have a full true-on sequel that honestly has been in development hell for years at this point. I mean, it's been delayed and gone into hibernation for years at a time and restarted so many times. So I'm very much looking forward to it. At least trying it out and seeing what the reviews say as we go into its release. And the reason I say that, there is a bit of apprehension on my part because the developer is Dam Buster Studios. No offense to them, but they are the developer that I only know them from Homefront the Revolution. And I don't know if you remember that game from the Xbox One era. I was not a fan. I was so excited for that game. And then when it came out, it was a very mediocre, average, lackluster letdown for me. So I just think about a lot of the bugs and issues and different things that were a problem with that release. And I'm hoping that they don't transition years later to Dead Island 2 and its experience. But regardless, I'm still curious about keeping an eye on it. And as we transition into the month of May, obviously, arguably, the biggest game releasing in the first half of this year is The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and that is on May 12th. You know, gamers, it's really frustrating for me to talk about this game, because I am excited for it, and it's a big release, so how can I not talk about it? But I still have not even played Breath of the Wild. I have it. If you have, again, have been listening to me at all over the last, I'd say 2 years, you'll know that I just recently, in October of 21, got a Switch for the first time in the entirety of the life cycle of the console. I picked up the Switch OLED when it released that October. And that December for Christmas, I did get The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. But here we are over a year later, still have not played it. I tried to focus on Skyward Sword HD and finish it up first before moving to Breath of the Wild. Still haven't beaten Skyward Sword HD. So I don't know if I'll be necessarily getting Tears of the Kingdom right at the beginning at launch, but my wife very well may be, because she also got a Switch that same year and ended up playing through and beating Breath of the Wild. So I could very much see her come May playing through that, and man, hopefully I will be able to get to it at some point sooner than later. Then we have one more release in the month of May, at the end of the month, on the 26th, and that is Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. Now, this game has been very back and forth for me as far as my excitement for it. When it was first announced, I was like, okay. I mean, I like the Suicide Squad okay, but I would have preferred, coming from Rocksteady, the studio that did the Batman Arkham games, I really wanted a Superman game that was like Batman Arkham, but for Superman, from them. And we didn't get that. We got Suicide Squad. So, okay. All right. I'll keep my eyes open and my mind open to seeing what this game is going to end up being. Well, it took a while. We finally got a gameplay trailer well over a year ago. And I thought it was actually really good. I was really excited about it, especially Captain Boomerang's gameplay from that trailer looked very interesting. Well, then it goes dormant again, and we didn't get another trailer until this past December at the Game Awards, and it wasn't even gameplay. It was just a cutscene that was in-game and in-engine, but just introduced basically the fact that Batman's in the game, and it showed him making a pretty cool appearance. So I'm very much looking forward to checking the game out and seeing what it's all about. But I still feel like it's been kind of just shrouded in mystery the closer we get to release. So maybe we'll see more on it between now and May, but I'm still very much interested in keeping my eyes on it. And as we transition into June, the last month of the first half of the year, starting out on June 6th of 23, which I said it before in an earlier episode, I'm going to say it again, these guys are slick, or they think they are, because the release I'm talking about here is Diablo, which obviously means devil. And if you don't know, the mark of the beast or the sign of the devil is 666, and you have the release date of 6/6/23. Well, 2 times 3 is 6, so you still get the 666. It's insane. Those guys. Well, either way, Diablo, never really been big into the series, but again, honestly, because it's on Game Pass, and because of more recent trailers, one being at the Game Awards, I'm actually pretty interested in checking this game out. And I want to like this series. I want to get into it and enjoy it and to be another RPG series that going forward, like, oh yeah, I like Diablo, man. I'm a fan. But this next game, June 22nd, is the release of it. And this is of another RPG series, one that I have been a massive fan of for the better part of 25 years now, and that is Final Fantasy 16. Gamers, I can't say enough how much I am looking forward to this game. It is absolutely my most anticipated game so far this upcoming year. And I cannot wait to experience the story. I mean, every trailer they put out for it, I felt like it's been just that much more a driver in getting my excitement level up. I can't wait. The combat looks insanely visceral and insane. I can't wait to experience that. The story looks very emotional and just epic. I can't wait to get in there and really just lose myself to the game and its world and story and characters. So a little over 5 months from now, I will definitely be discussing with you my playtime and play sessions with Final Fantasy 16, my most anticipated game of the year. Now, if I had to choose another 9 games to go with that as my top 10 most anticipated games, out of the games that I've mentioned so far that have an actual release date in no specific order, we'll probably go with Forspoken, the Dead Space remake, Hogwarts Legacy, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and Resident Evil 4 remake. So that right there is another 5 titles. So we have 6 out of my top 10 most anticipated. Now I'm just going to briefly go through some games that have been announced as 2023 releases, but they don't have specific release dates yet. And then out of that list, I will tell you my final 4 to round out that top 10 most anticipated games for 2023 so far for me. Now, first up on this no release date yet list is a game that is coming to next gen and PC, and it is Alan Wake 2. Ah, gamers, I am a massive fan of the first Alan Wake. Played through that game multiple times to get all 1000G all those years ago when it first released. One of the reasons why I love Remedy so much, the developer, because Max Payne and Max Payne 2, loved those games, loved Alan Wake, loved Control. Pretty much anything Remedy touches is just amazing for me. The only maybe stumble that I feel like they've had is Quantum Break. And Quantum Break was a really good game, but it wasn't, in my opinion, on that same level of quality, story or control and gameplay wise, as any of those other games that I mentioned. But Alan Wake 2, the fact that it's actually in existence, it is coming, and it's been a while now. It's been over a year since it was first announced. It was at the Game Awards of 2021, believe it or not. So it's been over a year since we've heard anything on it. And I mean, they said at that point in time that it was a ways off. It would not be releasing for a very long time, and we wouldn't see anything else on it for a very long time. So I accept that. But I can't wait. That is one that is listed as potentially this year of 2023, so hopefully so. Next up, Assassin's Creed Mirage, coming out on cross-gen and PC. Again, no specific release date has been given. We can pre-order the game right now, even though we have no idea when it's coming out. You know, initially they were talking about it coming out in spring of 2023, which we are just 2 months away from the spring season. So it still could happen, I guess, maybe a late spring, meaning, you know, summer doesn't start until June 20th. Maybe it could be early June. I don't know. I really don't think Ubisoft is going to want to release it to combat and be in the middle of the releases of Diablo 4 and Final Fantasy 16 in June. So maybe they wait until late summer, maybe early fall. But either way, gamers, you know I love Assassin's Creed. If you listen to this show, it's my favorite gaming franchise, period. Has been for many, many years. And this one with Bassam being the main character from Assassin's Creed Valhalla, he was in a massive role in that game. But you get to play as him in his younger days as he is first introduced to the Assassin's Brotherhood, or the Hidden Ones, as they are called at the time that he is brought into them. And just get his origin story. And it just sounds awesome. The location is awesome. I can't. It's the Middle East. And just thinking about it, all I can think about, honestly, is Disney's Aladdin. Oh, man. Just thinking about being able to do and go through the city streets and just the cinematic trailer we did get of Mirage at the Assassin's Creed Showcase event last year. I can't wait to go through those city streets as Bassam and see what amazingness awaits for me in that game. Now, next up, I do have Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden, which is a game that's next-gen exclusive and PC. Now, this game is from Don't Nod Entertainment, and if you didn't know, Don't Nod is famous mostly for doing the Life is Strange series, but they've also branched out and done a couple of other things, like Tell Me Why. They also did Vampyr, the vampire action RPG that I thoroughly loved, despite some of its shortcomings. But regardless, Banishers Ghost of New Eden, we got the debut trailer of it at the Game Awards, and it looked really good. It looked very unique. And basically, it looks like a couple of which the husband is alive and the wife is seemingly dead or a spirit in spirit form. And they basically hunt ghosts. And it just looks awesome, to be honest with you. We didn't get but a real quick shot of what we could potentially expect from gameplay. But man, looks really, really cool and worth keeping an eye on. Next up is Black Myth Wukong. And that is also a cross-gen release and PC. And I don't know, again, it's another one of those releases that is very much in the vein of the Bloodborne and Souls-like style of games. So I can't wait to see more on this game, even though just like with Wolong, I'm apprehensive and I'm not going to be naive to the fact that I don't know if I'm going to actually commit to this game full on from start to finish, but we will see the closer we get to its release. Next up, we have Final Fantasy Rebirth, and I can't wait to see what more details they're going to show us from that. That's kind of like the continuation, if you will, of the Final Fantasy VII remake that released on PS4 a few years ago. Got a PS5 upgrade about a year and a half ago, and I still need to go back and finish that upgrade because, man, I was a massive fan of the original Final Fantasy VII, and seeing it and experiencing it in modern tech was just awesome. Next up is Flintlock Siege of Dawn, another cross-gen release that's also coming to PC as well as Game Pass on day one. And it really reminded me of an action RPG that came out called Greedfall a few years ago on the Xbox One and PS4. But very much it looks like it's kind of a mixture of medieval and fantasy and future all rolled up into one. And a pretty cool, interesting setting and story. So I'm very much looking forward to trying that out. Layers of Fears is the next game I'll mention here, is also next gen and PC only. And obviously the Layers of Fear series, I loved the first game, really enjoyed what I played in my second game. And this one, it's supposed to be kind of a combined story of Layers of Fear 1 and 2. So you play through one story, one cohesive story, but you kind of alternate between the locations and characters and different things and stories that were individual experiences originally in Layers of Fear and Layers of Fear 2. So very interested to see how that actually is an execution. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. And then next up, we have Marvel's Spider-Man 2, which was recently confirmed to be coming in fall of 2023. I can't wait for this game. Marvel Spider-Man that came out back in 2018, absolutely loved that game. But guess what? 2 years later, Miles Morales Spider-Man, I love that game even more, believe it or not. Absolutely love that game. And I can't wait for Spider-Man 2 because it's supposed to continue with both Miles and Peter Parker. And just the characters of Venom and Kraven and all these different really cool things that seem to be supposedly happening in the game. I can't wait. Next up is Redfall, and that is an Xbox Series exclusive as well as on PC. And it looks awesome. I mean, it's a first-person shooter. It's single player, but also we can do it co-op. I mean, it just looks a lot of fun. It's vampires, and there's this town that gets taken over by vampires, and there's a group of people that band together to try to fight them off and go hunting and whatnot. It looks really cool. I was really honestly not too interested in this game until the trailer that they showed off and started the Xbox Showcase event in June of last year. And after that trailer, I'm like, oh wow, I'm actually really interested in this, man. I definitely want to keep an eye on it. But we're still supposedly definitely getting it in 2023, but it looks like it may not be coming until maybe the end of the first half of the year. So we'll see what happens there. And next up is a game I haven't heard from in a long time, and that is RoboCop Rogue City. And it is supposed to release on next-gen PC and Switch through the cloud. RoboCop is one of my favorite movies as a kid growing up, and also a pretty fun game back in the day. But to see that there's a new, brand new first-person shooter game coming out with that setting and that lore and story and character, I'm very excited for it, so can't wait for that. And the final game that has yet to get a specific release date, but is supposed to still come out this year, is Silent Hill 2, the remake, as well as Silent Hill Ascension. So anything Silent Hill, I am absolutely there for it. I can't wait to play any of the four mentioned and announced games that are coming in the Silent Hill franchise that was announced at the Silent Hill Showcase event or Transmission event this past October. Man, I can't wait. So out of all of these games, what were the four that round out my top 10? Well, that would be Alan Wake 2, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Silent Hill 2 and Ascension. So there you have it, my top 10 games that I'm most looking forward to, as well as a ton of other games that I'm still very interested in, with the one that I have the most anticipation for being Final Fantasy 16. Now, I want to go into this next segment, which are, what are some game announcements and reveals that I want to see most this upcoming year? Gamers all the time, we as gamers look for the next best thing, the next game announcement, the next secret reveal, the next release. And it's no different when looking at the year ahead. I just sat here and I was like, you know what? There are some really, really good games that I would love to see announced in this coming year from all of the big three and many other developers. So I'm just going to kind of go down a list that I wrote for myself and explain to you why I want to see these games and why it would be awesome. So first up, we have Jak and Daxter. And when I say Jak and Daxter, I don't mean a remaster collection or even a remake. I'd be okay with a remake, but it would be amazing if there was a brand new Jak and Daxter game that was created for the PS5. I just think about the original trilogy of Jak games, and I did play through and complete all of them on the PS2. Played a lot of Daxter, that was the PSP game. And I love those characters, that world, the gameplay style, and Naughty Dog as a developer. I mean, they're just amazing. Between Jak and Daxter, Crash Bandicoot, the original trilogy, as well as the Uncharted games, Naughty Dog is just phenomenal. Last of Us as well, obviously. I almost forgot The Last of Us, man. But the bottom line, I have read that they are working on a different style of game, more of like a fantasy type game. And I'm like, you know what? I wonder if that's like code or if they're trying to be real slick. And what if they are doing like a modern version of Jak and Daxter? It may be a pipe dream. I feel like if there was a new Jak and Daxter game, Sony might would have outsourced it to a different developer than Naughty Dog and tying Naughty Dog up with doing Jack and Daxter as opposed to, hey, let's reboot the Uncharted franchise, or hey, The Last of Us Part 3. So I don't know, but I think it will be amazing to see Jack and Daxter in the modern age with modern graphics, the DualSense controller, and all of its features. I just think it will be awesome. And it led me to my next game, which is also a Sony platforming franchise that I've talked about before on the show that I would love to see make a comeback, and that is Sly Cooper. Again, I never played through the original, any of the games, to be honest with you. Always thought it was a cool character, just bad timing, to be honest. But I would love to get into the character and experience and have another franchise that I thoroughly enjoy that is a Sony exclusive franchise. And Sly Cooper, you know, I played a decent amount of Thieves in Time on the PS Vita and really enjoyed what I played of it. So again, just like with Jack and Daxter, thinking about how it could be modernized, and again with those DualSense controller functionalities, I just think it would make for an awesome experience. So again, Jack and Daxter, Sly Cooper, amazing platforming icons from years before. I think they can make a comeback, especially with how successful Sonic Frontiers was this past year in its release, showing that, hey, these old school action platformer mascots, they still have some pull when it comes to the buyer's dollar. The next game on this list is another PlayStation exclusive, and I would love to see an announcement finally this year, like an official reveal of Ghost of Tsushima 2. Gamers, Ghost of Tsushima was my game of the year a couple of years ago, the year it released. And if you want to check out my review, definitely check that out. It's also here as well for your listening enjoyment. But man, to get a second Ghost of Tsushima game built from the ground up for the PS5, and from what I've heard, I haven't played the expansion yet for Ghost of Tsushima on the director's cut or whatnot for the PS5. I really want to, would love to at some point to get to it, but from what I hear, it maximizes the potential of the DualSense controller. Good friend Graveyard Gamer over at the Graveyard Gamer podcast, right here on Anchor and many other platforms. Check out his show. If you like mine, you'll like his. I promise. He has told me numerous times now that he feels that after all the games he's played for the DualSense functionalities on the PS5, Ghost of Tsushima and that expansion maximized it best and more than any other game he's played. So to think about that, and that was kind of maybe a test run for Sucker Punch, to the developer, to test out the waters and see what they could really do with those DualSense functionalities. Man, what they could do with a full-fledged Ghost of Tsushima sequel. Ah, that would be amazing to get some kind of announcement this year. Next up is a game from a series that I've been waiting for an official confirmation and announcement and reveal for years at this point. Gears 6. I would love to continue this story from Gears of War 5. I absolutely loved Gears 5. You know, Gears is an interesting series for me. I always thoroughly enjoyed the original trilogy, and then I did enjoy, eventually, Judgment, the offshoot game that came after the release of 3. But it wasn't until Gears 4 that I absolutely fell in love with the franchise, believe it or not. And then Gears 5 just accentuated that. I absolutely loved Gears 5. So I've been waiting for years for Gears 6. Even just like, give me a trailer or something, man. Like, nothing. We have seen nothing on Gears 6, and I would love to see an announcement and a reveal this year. Now, the next game on this list is the next Tomb Raider, and obviously we've already had confirmation that it's in the works. I even talked about some of the newly released details of the next game on a previous episode of Captain's Quarters. Check that out if you're interested. My point is, though, I would love to see an in-engine reveal of what the actual game is that we can expect. Like, where is it? What's the MacGuffin? What does it look like next gen? And, I mean, just what is it called? Because, honestly, I like the names. I'm weird like that. You know, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider. What's this next one going to be called? So, very much interested in seeing how they evolve that series and what they have up their sleeve for the next Tomb Raider. Now, next up is Resident Evil 9 and or the Resident Evil Code Veronica remake that I mentioned earlier in the show that I would love to see. Gamers, I've been wanting that Code Veronica remake ever since playing the Resident Evil 2 remake and seeing how good it was. I'm like, ah, they got to do Code Veronica. Okay, made sense that you did RE3 next, but guess what released next? That was Code Veronica. It released before Resident Evil 4. But they did Resident Evil 4 first. So, man, if they announced that they were doing a Code Veronica remake, that I would lose my ish. I could just tell you right now, oh man, I would be on the floor with elation. Now, Resident Evil 9, I'd also be pretty stoked for. I did thoroughly enjoy 7 and Village, even though they still are lacking that. There's just something that they're missing that just doesn't quite scream Resident Evil to me. Yes, I think it's cool to have certain characters from the Resident Evil universe pop up in there, and it's set in that same universe these games are, but at the same time, there's just something that just doesn't feel like Resident Evil, like those classic games do, or even the remakes, they feel like Resident Evil. It's like, okay, I'm playing a Resident Evil. So hopefully, I would still love to see where the next game in that series goes, and see what the story, especially considering how Village ended, I would love to see what their plans are, and where it takes place. And I mean, because there was still a lot to love about Village. I mean, Lady Dimitrescu, I loved her, as did a lot of people. And just in general, that environment, I loved it. It just, you know, wasn't quite Resident Evil. Next up on the list, the next Super Mario game. The next full-fledged open 3D Super Mario. Now, and I mean in the vein of like Super Mario Odyssey, essentially the sequel to it. Because if you've listened to my show, late last year, I fell in love with Mario Odyssey, finally got around to playing it for the first time, absolutely loved it, and even though I haven't beaten it, I'd still love to see what Nintendo has up its sleeve next for the old plumber. This next one on here is a big one, and that is Grand Theft Auto 6. Gamers, I mean, we've been being teased for years and years and years and years and years about what this could potentially be. And I'm telling you right now, it's I wouldn't say it's 100% confirmed, but it's a very good probability that this next game is going to be the next-gen version of Vice City. And I'm all for it because that's honestly what I want from the next GTA. You know, we've gotten the, at the time, next-gen versions of Liberty City and San Ferrero and San Andreas. I mean, we've gotten all those prettier versions than what they were on the PS2. But not for Vice City. So it would be amazing if we finally got the reveal of Grand Theft Auto 6 and that it was confirmed and we saw that. I can only imagine. Current gen visuals, current gen hardware, Vice City, Grand Theft Auto 6. Whew. Next up on this list is Iron Man. The Iron Man game coming from EA. I would love to see some gameplay for it. We obviously got the announcement that they were making a game and confirmation of it all, but I would love to see a trailer that highlights the gameplay because we did have two Iron Man games on the 360 PS3 era, but they weren't the greatest games. So I would love to see how the developers approach this Iron Man game. Is it going to be similar to the way Iron Man controlled in Marvel's Avengers, the most recent game that didn't really do too well? Or is it going to be something completely different? I'm very interested to see how they approach the gameplay. So I can't wait to see that. And finally, gameplay trailers for Fable, Avowed, and the last one here is the big one, Indiana Jones. All three of these, at least Indiana Jones, is presumed to be exclusive to Xbox, but the other two are definitely Xbox exclusives. We got our cinematic trailer of Fable years ago, haven't seen anything since. Rumors recently point to the game was yet another one like Perfect Dark, when another first-party Microsoft title that got scrapped and had to restart development from square one. So if that is the case, then I kind of get it as to why they haven't shown anything for Fable. But man, if they were able to show off some Fable gameplay, have a better idea of when it's releasing, same thing with Avowed, and especially for me, Indiana Jones, because I feel like they have to with Indiana Jones, because we've already seen the trailer now for the new movie. It comes out in June. You'd think they'd probably want to capitalize on the marketing and the hype around that movie and release the game in and around the time that the movie releases. So it remains to be seen if that is what they end up doing. Time will tell. So that is a list of the game announcements or reveals that I want to see most in this upcoming year. Next up, though, what do I want most from PlayStation in 2023? Gamers, if there was one manufacturer of the big three that I felt like truly won 2022, it would absolutely hands down be PlayStation. With the amount of first-party releases and next-gen exclusives that it released over the course of 2022, I really did feel like they had a little bit of everything for everyone and fully supported their brand. They released a lot of new programs with the PlayStation Plus and also another new program in PlayStation Stars. And that's where I'm at with this segment of what I want most from PlayStation as of this moment in 2023. I kind of know and trust they're going to deliver on the games. I'm not too worried about that. So what do I want otherwise from PlayStation? Well, when it comes to PlayStation Stars, I just want the continued expansion of that program. Can keep evolving it. And what I mean, first up, integration of PlayStation Stars on console, not just on the app. So if you don't know, right now you can only access PlayStation Stars via the PlayStation app, which is all well enough and good, but at the same time, I would prefer to have an option as well when I am on my PS5 on the dashboard to be able to access my library or by shelf of collectibles, or look at the different challenges that they have for the given week or the given month, or to look at what other requirements that I have to do to increase my level, my PlayStation Stars level. So I hope that they work to get that going this year and get that integration on console. Next up, speaking of level, I would love to see if they had the level cap raised from 4 to whatever the higher number may be. Maybe you raise it to a level 10. But also, just like they did with the trophy system when they reinvented that, make it to where the levels, to level up, it's a more requirements, basically, to gain level to level. Meaning, like right now, you basically gain levels by purchasing games, unlocking rare trophies, and doing different things like that. So, okay, just buy more games, unlock more trophies, like increase the quantity amount, the required quantity amount, or other things. There are specific challenges, and this is another part of my evolution, if you will, of this program that I'm hoping for, is to have better challenges. They typically only have like 2 challenges, and it could be, hey, play one of these games from this list. Hey, try out all the PlayStation Plus games for the month. I wish there were more challenges, because not everybody is going to play every game or have a interest in every game on the PlayStation Month games for that month. So just rounding out with better challenges, more challenges, as well as more collectibles, because that's one of my favorite parts, the most fun parts about it, is having access to exclusive collectibles for your shelf, or just in general, being able to have the option to buy exclusive collectibles with points you earn based on your different challenges that you complete. So I would love to see more collectibles, the shelf being able to be displayed on your profile, on your console, your friends able to look at it, and so that way you can proudly display any of the collectibles that you've unlocked throughout the course of your time doing these challenges. So that is what I would like right now from PlayStation in the coming year, in the coming months, the continued expansion of PlayStation Stars. Next up, what is it that I want most this year from Xbox? Gamers, when it comes to Xbox in 2022, it was the absolutely most disappointing year that I've ever had as an Xbox fan. For years, for 20 years leading up to last year, I was carrying the Xbox flag. That was my preferred brand. That is what I played all multi-platform games on until last year. And if you've listened to my show, you know that I've transitioned to where the PS5 is my multi-platform console of choice. And I have very much favored the PS5 this generation over the Series X. And last year was a big reason, if not the defining reason, why. There was absolutely nothing on the Xbox last year that released that was exclusive that I had any desire to put down my DualSense for. And that was very disheartening. You know, there was a lot of promises, you know, hey, every quarter we're going to release an exclusive Xbox game. We haven't seen that at all. And you had also the lack of just excitement, I feel like, around the brand from the brand itself. I mean, there was months where they didn't have any new announcements whatsoever. No new, even just as something as simple to most people may seem as a new controller announcement, a new color or a new design. They started picking that up as the year went on. But the first half of the year, I felt like came and went. And then they had what I felt was a whimper and a putter of a showcase event in June, at least for me. There was a lot from that event that I was just like, man, I was so underwhelmed with this. So what I want from Xbox this year, stop focusing so much on Game Pass and get back to making games. And that is why I think that we had such a rough year last year, is because of the years previously, all this focus has been put on Game Pass. All this money has been put into funding Game Pass and paying off companies to have releases on day one on Game Pass. And I just feel like Xbox has yet again lost sight of what's most important to gamers, and that is the games. You know, they lost sight of that at the beginning in the launch of the Xbox One, and it cost them the entire generation that they then had to scratch tooth and nail to finally gain some favor and get back into good graces with gamers by the end of that generation through the Xbox One X, as well as a lot of other updates and improvements they made and refocusing they did over the course of that time. Well, now, since the launch of the Series X, what have they done? I just feel like they've done nothing except for push Game Pass, and it's very frustrating because, sure, I'm a subscriber to Game Pass, but that's not all I care about, is just playing games on day one without paying out of the pocket for them right then and there. That doesn't matter. Like, I would rather have Fable, Perfect Dark, Avowed, Gears 6. Like, there's all these games that I feel like, what are you doing with these properties? Why are you not pumping them out? Like, where are the games? You have Rare, who is an amazing developer who had all these classic games in their library and their repertoire, and you haven't done anything with that. You've done Sea of Thieves, and I get it, it's a popular game, and it takes constant maintenance and stability. I get it, but man, between that and Grounded, and I feel like they've just taken and wasted a lot of years off of the potential of Rare. Ah, there's just a lot of frustration there for me. And really, at the end of the day, gamers, Xbox, you got to stop focusing on Game Pass and get back to what really matters. And that is making exclusive games for your console to drive gamers to that console. And to remember why Xbox was allowed into our homes in the first place with that original console. If it wasn't for those exclusives on the original Xbox, among many other things, we wouldn't even be talking about Xbox right now. It would have probably gone the way of the Jaguar or even the Dreamcast and been a one-and-done console, one-and-done name that is Xbox. But that's not what happened. So let's get back to what made you respected and appreciated in the gaming community and get back to the games. Next up, what do I want most from Nintendo in 2023?
Here we go!
Gamers, this past year, for me and for my time and experience with the Nintendo Switch, I thought it was a pretty good year. You know, for me, for somebody who only really plays the Switch if I'm on vacation or at night before bed for short bursts of time, it was a good solid year. At the beginning of the year, we had the release of Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which was a lot of fun and I really thoroughly enjoyed. And then at the end of the year, we had Bayonetta 3, both two franchises that I have never touched a game in the series before, and ended up walking away appreciating both characters and series so much more and very much into both of those games. So for me, I thought Nintendo had a pretty solid 2022. And when looking at 2023, what is it that I want most from them? So this may sound odd to a lot of you out there listening, but I want a reveal announcement for the successor to the Switch. And the reason I say this might come across as weird is, look, I realize I just got the Switch and I haven't even beaten my first game on it yet, but a new console would, honestly, for me, it'd almost be like a clean slate. Like I can start fresh. I start from the beginning. Guys, I was so late to the Switch party that it almost feels like constant catch up. And there's this massive built-in backlog. Just at the time that I initially bought the console, it was already built in with this massive backlog of games that I wanted to play. So I just think that it's time technologically for a new Switch console. And just the thought of an upgraded 4K machine that's I'm playing Mario and Zelda and Kirby and more and so on and so forth, Metroid Prime or Metroid, it just to me sounds amazing. So hopefully this year we get that next gen console announcement from Nintendo. Now it's time to see what my most anticipated accessory or peripheral is for 2023. Gamers, this past year of 2022 saw the release of a few pretty decent peripherals and controllers and designs and colors. And if you want to know what my controller freak award was for my accessory or controller of the year, check out last week's episode where I took a look back at the year of 2022 in gaming. But looking at 2023, what is my most anticipated accessory or peripheral? Well, I'll be right up front with you, gamers. It is the exact same thing that I wanted last year and said on last year's look ahead episode for 2022, and that is what I am now calling the Celestial Green DualSense. And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, I'll explain the Celestial Green aspect of it. So last year I said a Hunter Green or a Green DualSense is really what I was looking for because that's my favorite color. Well, this year I have dubbed it the Celestial Green DualSense because Sony has what they call the Galaxy Collection. So each one of their DualSense controllers has some kind of galactic or space type name added to it. Cosmic Red, or Galactic Purple, so on and so forth, Nova Pink. Bottom line is, for me, I thought that Celestial Green sounds pretty cool, and I would love to see that controller, that DualSense, release at some point in 2023. Now, next up, it's time to look at my year-end results for trophy-level progress and gamer score questing for the year of 2022. First up, let's see how I fared with my year trophy level progress goals. Gamers, when I look back at 2022 and I look at the progress that I made in my trophy level, I'm very proud of it. I have also said multiple times this episode and throughout the course of last year that my preferred console of choice has shifted from being the Xbox console to the PS5 now. And with that being the case, obviously multi-platform games have been played on the PS5, whereas before it would have always been on the Xbox. Well, because of that, this past year, it allowed me the opportunity to actually maybe fully realize some of these yearly, annual trophy level goals that I gave to myself. So if you wanted to know how I fared in my trophy level progress goals for the year, check out last week's episode where I go into details on that. This week, it's all about looking ahead and what goal am I going to give to myself for 2023? What trophy level do I want to be at by the time the clock strikes midnight on December 31st of 2023? Well, for me, this year, I am shooting for a trophy level goal of 230. So I am currently at trophy level 221, 86% complete towards 222. And the way I look at it, between the games that I'm currently trying to play through, the game releases that are coming out over the course of the year, whether it's exclusives or multi-platform, and the fact that there are, as I had mentioned earlier about PlayStation Stars, the way the trophy level progress is, and it is one thing I like about it, is the fact that every level you level up, it takes that much more trophies unlocked to get to the next level. So leveling up essentially 8 levels from where I'm at right now may not sound like a lot in the whole grand scheme of a year, but when you break it down in the ways that I just explained to you, getting 8 levels to level 230 by 2024, I think is a pretty respectable goal. And I have given myself a new monthly goal because every month on my Captain's Quarters episodes, about mid-month, I have in those episodes an update on my trophy level progress and my gamer score questing and let you know where I'm at. So month to month, those goals that I give myself, this first one that I'm giving for 2023 for the mid-February Captain's Quarters episode is to reach a trophy level of 224. Now, again, I said I'm right there at 86% complete towards trophy level 222. I'm very much at the end of God of War Ragnarok. I also have the back half of A Plague Tale Requiem to go through, the Callisto Protocol, these new releases I just talked about. I feel pretty confident that by mid-February, with all that hopefully wrapped up, that's a lot of trophies and maybe some platinums in there that will boost that trophy level pretty significantly, I think and hope. So I do hope we will see come mid-February if I reach the trophy level of 224. Check back in next month to see if I was successful. So that was my trophy level progress goal for this year, as well as my first monthly goal for mid-February. Now let's go check in on my gamer score quest and see what I have for myself this year. Gamers, when looking back at 2022, I started off strong with the Xbox and playing through Halo Infinite, loving it, jumping right into Call of Duty Vanguard and playing through its campaign, loving it, and then it was pretty much at a complete standstill for the rest of the year. Now, I will say that I did periodically go back and forth to the Xbox and dabbled in a few things here or there. There was a lot of Game Pass titles that I tried out, played for 30 minutes here, an hour there. But it wasn't really until the end of the year when I put a decent amount of time into Sonic Frontiers, as well as Fatal Frame, Maiden of Black Water, that I started to add a little bit more to the gamer score overall than what I had through the duration of the year up to that point. So, as of right now, I am currently at a gamer score of 292,505. Again, just like with trophy level progress, you want to find out if I was able to hit my yearly goal. Check out last week's episode for that information. This week, it's all about looking at my yearly goal. So my yearly goal, and I might get some eyebrows raised on this one, is to unlock 3,000 gamer score or to break 300,000. That is what I'm looking for. And you may raise some eyebrows. I say that because like, what? 3,000, that's it? Again, reiterating, most multi-platform games anymore, I'm playing on PlayStation. So there's not going to be a whole lot going on the Xbox outside of any exclusives that may or may not release in the coming year. Now, if Starfield and Redfall, maybe even Forza Motorsport, some of those Game Pass titles that I mentioned that come out on day one on Game Pass earlier in the episode, maybe those games will allow me to get more than 3,000, get closer to that 300,000. But if you're doing the math, I'd need 7,500 to hit 300,000. So we'll see what the year brings. We'll see what happens. But for right now, my yearly goal is to get 3,000 gamer score or to break 300,000, because that's just still would be awesome. Every 100,000, right, is just an awesome feeling. Now, my monthly goal for mid-February's Captain's Quarters episode is going to be to reach 293,000. So I just need 495 gamer score, which, again, doesn't sound like a lot, but I actually have to play games on the Xbox and unlock achievements for this to happen. So that's why I tried to give myself somewhat of a realistic challenge, if you will, because I thought, you know what, maybe I will play some Sonic Frontiers between now and then, and I'll be able to unlock some of, if not all of, that potential 495 gamer score needed to hit that goal. Because if you didn't know, I did declare a quest for 1,000 G, which is my Xbox version of a Platinum Pursuit in Sonic Frontiers, meaning I am at a point where I'm like, yep, I would like to get all 1,000 G in this game. So we'll see what happens. But by mid-February, check back in, see if I was successful in hitting my goal. Now, to close out the episode. Gamers, when looking ahead at the year of 2023 and all of the possibilities that are there for gaming, I am massively excited about the experiences that seem to be awaiting for us in these coming 12 months. There are just so many really, really good games that are on the slate with release dates, some that hopefully still will release this year, but we don't know exactly when yet. And then I always like to sit there and think about what we don't know about yet. Some of those surprise announcements that we're going to get in the coming months that, oh yeah, by the end of the summer or by this fall, this is going to be releasing. So I can't wait to see what those titles are. I also shudder at the fact that, man, I don't have the kind of time to play through every single game that I've talked about today, but I still want to play them. So I'm going to try my best and find as much time as I can, as well as time to share my thoughts, my reviews, my excitements with you on all of these games. And I can't wait to share this fourth season of Lost at Sea Gaming with you in the coming year of 2023. That'll do it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as searching for Hulking Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can also find me on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming, as well as on Twitter at lostatseagaming1. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.